They're the joyful agains our children shout on the swings, the exhausting agains of cooking and laundry, and the difficult agains of discipline. So much of what we do as mothers is on repeat. So what if we woke up with clarity, knowing which agains we were called to, and went to bed believing we are faithful in what matters most? We believe God's word is the key to untangle from the confusion and overwhelm we feel. Let's look up together to embrace a motherhood full of freedom and joy. Welcome to another episode of the Again Podcast, brought to you by Entrusted Ministries. I'm your host, Stephanie Hickox, and today I'm joined in a discussion by Jen Freckman and Emily Dio. I have to be honest with you, we recorded this episode quite some time ago, and I just didn't quite have peace about releasing it. You see, I would never want to put a burden upon your back or have you question the way you're doing things that isn't from the Holy Spirit. We really are here to help make your load lighter. Now, with some months of processing, I think I've realized why I had some trepidation about releasing this episode, even though there is so much wisdom in it. The Lord has revealed to me that I needed a tune-up in this area and that I really need to be adjusting some things, and I think that that's why I didn't have peace. As I re-listened to it, I'm so grateful for the reminders that these wonderfully wise women brought to the table. It is a truly wonderful conversation to think about and process with our Savior. I pray that the Holy Spirit would make the moments that you need to hear stand out to you. And this certainly isn't the only episode on self-care that we'll be releasing. It's such an important topic, and it can go so many different directions. But without further ado, I'll bring to you some very wise words from Jen and Emily. We hope they make your yoke easier, Mama. Jen, if you had a Saturday all to yourself and didn't have any responsibilities, how would you spend it and how would you like to be recharged?
Good question. The first thing that comes to my mind is I would go to a really cute, quaint coffee shop and I would get a good coffee and a good book and I would sit there for a while enjoying the ambiance of the place and the quiet and I would read for a while. I would do devotions and hear the Lord speak to me for a little bit. And then I would probably pull out some watercolors and paint for a while or do something creative. And then I think I'd go for a walk outside somewhere and be in nature just to get the sun in my eyes and on my face. And then I'd probably go to a friend's house. I don't know. I need just a little bit of alone time. I don't need a lot, but I definitely need a little bit to recharge me. That's probably how I would spend it.
That sounds like such a balanced, refreshing day. I love it. Emily, what's coming to mind for you?
The antique store. Now, this is would be a long day with unlimited funds. So I would go to the antique store and then I would make something. Making something always, well, the antique store gets my brain like thinking about ideas and things and how I want to move everything. And then I would want to make something or maybe pour some candles or just do something creative with my hands. And then I would definitely want to end the day with a friend. Maybe go out to dessert and some good conversation where you jump right into the deep end. That would be a really recharging day for me.
The antique store does not surprise me at all, Emily. I knew that was going to come out in your answer for sure. I could go so many ways on this one. I'm going to say that I would love to wake up somewhat early and go kayaking. I think it's so peaceful and beautiful in the morning. I would just love to be in creation, especially on the water. Then after that, I would get a really awesome coffee drink and have my quiet time and then go to brunch with a friend. Watercolor painting, that's something I have on my list continually that I don't get to as much as I'd like, but I think is really peaceful and relaxing. And then maybe I would do something silly like organize a closet. Sometimes bringing order out of chaos really makes me happy, or finding a better way to do something. And then maybe reading a book, and if I fell asleep, take a nap, that'd be great. And then getting dressed up and going for dinner. I like to be fancy sometimes, so I feel like that would be a really well-rounded, relaxing day for me.
So now we need to take a week and we can each do our fun thing all together.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be so fun.
I'm here for it. I love that idea. Today's episode is going to correspond with Entrusted with a Child's Heart Lesson 3, in which Betsy talks about personal convictions. Personally, I had so many light bulb moments when I took Entrusted, and on this lesson in particular, when Betsy walks through Romans 14, there are so many issues that believers disagree about that are personal convictions and things that we need to respect one another for. But then there are also a lot of biblical convictions in which we need to stand firm. I think Betsy does a fantastic job at clarifying which is which. But I found when I led groups, when we would start to talk afterwards about some ways of thinking that are prevalent in our culture right now that might be counter to scripture, this idea of self-care came up quite a bit. It's coming up a lot in the world right now. I feel it's almost impossible to have a discussion about motherhood without talking about self-care. And the world is offering a very different solution than the church.
I haven't found it discussed as much in church. I don't know about either of you.
No.
No, I agree. I don't think it's something that we've talked about too much, but the world definitely is.
And I think when the world speaks loudly and the church remains silent, there's a lot there for interpretation, and I think a lot gets lost. So discernment is so important.
True.
We want to talk today about a biblical response to self-care, and obviously, as we've said many times, motherhood can be exhausting and you feel weary, and we want to discuss, what do you do with those feelings that are legitimate? What is a godly response to pouring yourself out day in and day out? What can we do with those feelings that would be more honoring to the Lord than the solutions the world is offering? Jen, what comes to mind for you when you think about self-care?
Well, I think the world definitely gives the mommy going to Target and roaming the aisles and needlessly buying things, or sometimes putting things in your cart and thinking about them and then just walking out the store and not buying them. I've heard of people doing that. I've actually feel like I've done that a couple of times myself.
Yes, I agree, Jen. I think there's many different ways when you think of it as far as self-care goes. And when we're talking about personal conviction, I think that's why this topic might be a little difficult to discuss, because how we approach this subject is a personal conviction. And that's something that can really only be established between you and the Lord and talking it over with your husband. And so at the end of the day, you, like anything else, I think you have to search what the Lord is leading you to do in this area. I think often the struggle comes in when the need for immediate gratification overrides our discernment, and to see that we actually may need to dig a little deeper and look into our own heart and look what it is we're trying to rosé all day away.
Mm, yeah.
So while there is nothing wrong with doing things you enjoy, God created us to be creative and to find ways to delight in him. So there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but when they become the idol, that's when the struggle comes in.
And when you mentioned this is a little bit of a tricky topic to speak to, I think part of that is also because we all have different personalities. Yeah. There are some moms that need to be told, hey, it's okay to sit down. Rest is good. Mm-hmm. And then there are some moms, it's okay to work. And we don't always know who we're speaking to. And that's what makes the Word of God so wonderful, because it's going to convict us regardless of where we're at. But we're definitely in a culture where productivity is almost worshipped and rest is always on the back burner. We're going to move forward with the assumption that as mothers, we're probably working too hard, and that this idea of self-care is born out of a legitimate need and desire for rest.
Yes, motherhood was not meant to be a place of exasperation and exhaustion. Motherhood was meant for holiness, and the very definition of holiness means to be set apart. Mm. And if moms aren't set apart, then I don't know what is set apart. We're set apart to care for our families and to make sure everyone is at their appointment and to make sure that the lunch is packed and the schedules are made and the doctors are on the calendar. we're set apart for so many things. And when we aren't giving all of our busyness back to him and allowing him to control our calendar, exhaustion can so easily set in.
Yeah, very true. I think that sometimes for moms, we can become so busy and so enthralled in meeting everybody else's needs that we forget to meet some of our own needs. We've all been there, I'm certain, where we've been like, why am I so hungry? And then it's, oh yeah, I made everyone else lunch and I was cutting up the chicken nuggets for someone and I only had two bites of their chicken nuggets while I was serving everyone. I forgot to eat. And so I think that the difference between that, where you're meeting the needs of all the people and it's busy and it's hard and it's exhausting, I think that's a different thing, a different entity than what we're talking about, even with the whole going to get away from something, running towards something just to quiet your mind or to quiet your soul and be distracted. And I think that is, that's huge good. Thing right now with moms being distracted. And so when they're going on their social media, it's some time for me to have for myself. It's really just a distraction. It's really something that they're doing to get their minds off of where they are. And I think we, and I'm including myself in this, we need to stop and pause and say, why am I doing this? Why do I feel distracted? Why do I feel like I need to escape? Why? What is going on? Am I hungry? Do I just need to eat some food and get some calories and fat into my body? Or am I running because there's an unquieted soul, that my soul is discontented? And if that's the case, no matter where I run, no matter what I do, if I could go to Target all day and I still won't have the contentment in my heart that my heart is searching for. And so I think some of what this self-care thing that's going on is really just moms distracting themselves and not realizing their soul is hungry for the Lord and it needs to be met in them. Mm-hmm. I have a quote from a book called The Art of Divine Contentment by Thomas Watson. I love this book. Legit, have so many quotes on pieces of paper, and I put it in my bathroom so that I can see it when I'm getting ready in the morning. And one of those quotes says, discontentment puts the heart into disorder and mutiny, and such as one cannot serve the Lord without distraction. Discontent does not only disquiet a man's self, but those who are near him. This evil spirit troubles families. Discontent troubles us more than the trouble itself. And I think so often that's the case. We're discontent with something. Who knows what that is? We're not happy about something that the way life is working out. And we have this angst in us, this discontent that we don't even realize because we're so busy running the kids from thing to thing and caring for other people and serving others that we haven't stopped to say, what's the state of my heart? Why is this angst here? What's going on? What am I discontent about? Yes. And think, if you look at self-care through those lens that you need to help yourself, then yes, you do. You need that self-care. Eric always jokes around with me whenever we're on the airplane and they're like, please, in the event of an emergency, please put your mask on yourself first before assisting others. And he looks at me and he's, yes, that's you. Because as a mom, we don't do that. We're like, no, I got to help the other kids. I got to help everybody else first. And so, yes, we are called to serve. We are called to die to self. But if we're doing the self-care in the terms of trying to distract ourselves, we need to check our hearts and be like, wait, no, that's not what I want to do.
Right. Mm. That's so good. The enemy is the master of distraction.
Yes.
And he knows exactly what it is. And it will be different for everybody to get them to a point of distraction. And when we're in those places, it's so easy to live to please ourselves instead of plowing deep and doing the heart work of change. It's so easy to mask with all of these simple fixes.
Right. Yep.
The gospel is the only countercultural thing that is truly the answer. Because the gospel calls us to this place of total opposites, of dying to self for gain. And there, nowhere out there are we going to hear those things. And that is the hard, deep work that God calls us to daily. When we're so distracted by the enemy, he calls us to die to ourselves.
Yeah.
And to put him first. So it's incredibly countercultural, but it's also the answer.
Right. One of my favorite verses is that I will most gladly spend and be spent for the sake of your souls. If we're doing that and we're exhausted, well, good. That's good. We need to be doing that. But if we are exhausted just because we're running around from thing to thing and we haven't spent any time with the Lord and we're not filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit and being saturated in his word and we're doing it on our own effort and our own strength and ability, that's not holy. That's not what God wants of us. Mm-hmm.
But do you girls think there is a difference between that exhaustion, which you're talking about, which is almost, can these two words exist? Can it be a fulfilling exhaustion? It feels mm-hmm. like it is, yeah. rather than a depleted exhaustion in which it's driven by our need for bigger, better, greater, prettier. Mm-hmm. The material things is what I'm speaking to. Those two exhaustions are so different. Yeah. One is filled daily by the Holy Spirit and giving us replenishment. And the other is never satisfied.
One is carnal and one is holy.
Mm. Also, it's what is the end result that we're going for? If we are really believing that we're doing this beautiful thing for eternity, that we're pointing souls to Christ, then we are not measuring our effectiveness day by day, saying, it's not going well, I need to numb myself. Or, yes. today was a hard day, I need to escape from it. I think we set out and have these ideal visions for what it's going to look like. And in reality, there's a lot of noisy moments at the dinner table, and it takes years to teach kids manners. And there are just so many battles, and potty training is exhausting, and getting your children to sleep through the night can be so hard. And making all of the meals that we do and all of the laundry, it's easy to get to lose sight of the eternal value of what we're doing. And that's why we started the podcast focusing on those things and on the agains, redeeming that, because it's just so easy to get caught up in the mundane moments and to get caught up in not seeing fruit. And so then we feel justified in wanting something that's going to bring us pleasure or an escape.
For sure. And then I think pride can convince us that we deserve more. That this book, Humble Roots, it's an excellent book. There's a quote in it that says, since pride convinces us that we are more significant than we really are, it also convinces us that we deserve a certain experience of this world. And when something disrupts that expectation, our pride reveals itself by complaining or in anger. And I would add to that, or by escaping. We get upset because we deserve better, and I can't handle this, and I need to escape off into a 2-hour workout. That can be just as selfish as going and having rosé all day. It's where your heart is, back to that whole thing. If you are going off and you're hanging out with your girlfriends and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, awesome. Live in that joy. God, we are free in Christ. Mm-hmm. This isn't a weight that we're supposed to live like rules and, oh, I can't do this because I haven't spent time in the Word. That's not the heart behind what I'm trying to say. It's more of dying to self and living a life of service doesn't mean that we can't enjoy life. It means we have life abundantly, and that when it's rightly ordered, if we are abiding in Christ, then by all means, we can enjoy it. But if we're not abiding in Christ, if we're running from our sin or trying to escape something, we just need to be honest with ourselves and ask God to reveal our hearts to us, which are so deceitful and desperately wicked. But why do I feel this way, Lord? Why do I feel depleted? And my mentor once told me, you wouldn't be feeling this way if you were abiding. And I was like, oh, you're so right. What I'm feeling right now is because I'm not abiding in Christ. And so I think some of it is yeah, am I abiding? Am I doing this in the joy of the Lord, or am I doing this to get away and to cover up or to mask or push down something that I don't want to deal with?
Ouch. But thank you.
Yeah, as you were speaking, Jen, I just jotted these two things down because you got my wheels spinning, and I thought, I wonder if a couple good questions to ask ourselves when we're trying to discern this is, are we looking to numb something or are we delighting in goodness?
Yeah.
Which is it, the direction that we're headed? If we're looking to numb something, then probably there's something that we need to deal with heart-wise.
Yeah.
But if we're delighting in goodness, the fruit of a friendship, or the list could go on and on, if we're delighting in goodness and it's a time of rest and renewal, then maybe that's our measuring stick.
Definitely. And then a check-in after the activity. Mm. Was that really life-giving? You know, when you've spent time with a friend and you're like, that was what I needed.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. And your spirit automatically goes to praise, right?
Yes.
And so you know that was life-giving.
That
That's what I needed,
true.
Lord.
Yes.
But if afterwards you're like, it's still there, the heaviness is still there, you know you're still running. If all you're looking for the next thing to numb you. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes, going in, we can check our spirit, and then going out of a situation.
In Psalm 131, I'm reminded, it says, "Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up." And then it goes on to say, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul." And so he charges us to do that. We are to calm and quiet our souls, but how are we doing that? How are we quieting? Mm-hmm. And are we taking note of our soul? What is our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Mm-hmm. And so how am I quieting my soul? Is it carnal or is it holy in the way that I'm doing that?
In Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls." And I think often we're trying to find new solutions to old problems.
Yes.
The life on this earth has always been disappointing in some ways and exhausting in some ways. And it's not what we were made for.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of setting our hearts on eternity and looking to the Lord, we're trying to find all these solutions for a deeper problem when we could find rest for our souls in the Lord. And then in Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That same phrase. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And what an interesting phrase, right? Take my yoke upon you and you'll find rest for your souls.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying there's a different way to carry the weight that you have in this life.
Yeah.
And it's walking with him, doing it with him. Yes. We're going to find his rest. But I know for me, that's got to be an absolutely regular practice or it feels heavy again.
Yeah, for sure. In this book, Growing in Gratitude by Mary Moeller, Al Moeller's wife, it was a fabulous read. I'd highly recommend it. It was really good. One portion of that book said, "If we love people well and have the power and capacity to help, then we are going to be busy. Jesus was busy and was always made prayer a priority. Learning to pray doesn't offer us a less busy life. It offers us a less busy heart. The quest for a serene, contemplative life can actually be self-absorbed, focused on quiet and me. In the midst of outer busyness, we can develop an inner quiet. Because we are less hectic on the inside, we have a greater capacity to love and thus to be busy, which in turn drives us even more into a life of prayer." And I just love that because I think sometimes this self-care, not always, but sometimes self-care is just a self-absorbed, I need to fill me and then I can fill you. Where, yes, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that out of the overflow of the Holy Spirit, we can give unto our families and our friends. But we don't fill us and become self-absorbed with us by filling that with, yoga, quiet times of focusing on what we need. We do that by praying and being alone with the Lord and letting Him fill us.
So we can't pour from an empty vessel.
No.
And it has to be filled with the right things. We are so busy, moms.
Yeah.
Our worlds are busy. We're driving our kids places. We're talking about things that are exhausting with them. We are doing all the things and we're trying to do them well and we're exhausted. But I think, but when we assess this whole subject of self-care and this whole how we approach it, are we filling ourselves up with the right things? Mm. Are we filling ourselves up with the word? And it's so easy to jump on these quick Band-Aid fixes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to yield our spirit over to Him.
True.
And I just think how it would revolutionize us as mothers and this whole topic of self-care if we just daily surrendered, daily gave, and daily pursued Him.
Yeah. You imagine if every mother every day was filled with the Holy Spirit out of the overflow of her heart, serving every member in her family, every neighbor that she meets, her person that she's coming across in the grocery aisle. It could revolutionize, like you said. It would be a huge difference to this world, let alone to our children. I think often we're busy, and some of it, I'm not convinced God's put on our plates. I think we need to stop and be like, okay, Lord, I feel exhausted and busy and I'm not able to do the things that I want to be able to do it well. Is there something on my plate that either can come off or needs to come off because I've put it there and you haven't? Do I need to say no more? Do I need to realize that I am not somebody else's savior, that somebody else can come in and meet that need? I don't have to be that one. So do I humble myself and allow someone else to meet that need? Or just asking the question, am I doing too much? And letting the Lord answer that for us.
That is so good. I once heard, and I know I've said it, I'm sure I've said it on here before, but I love it so much. I once heard someone say our calendar is an act of worship.
Oh, yeah.
And if we are feeling so busy, let's take it back to the calendar and let's see what we're committing ourselves to and our families to. And so often we can point to that source of exhaustion. Hmm. Now, our lives run in seasons, and some seasons are just busier, and you have to do all the things on there. There's no way around it. But if God has called you to that season, He will equip you with the fortitude to get through that season. Yes. So that goes back to that, what we were discussing earlier. Are we, when we walk away from whatever the thing is, are we feeling that we want to praise Him or are we feeling depleted?
Yeah.
We are assessing our calendars.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I have some unique circumstances in my life with my husband. One of his main symptoms is just exhaustion. We saw that happen pretty early on in our marriage. We didn't know what was happening until we'd had our fourth child, but I was quite used to doing quite a bit on my own. And then he got diagnosed and now we understood a reason, but it doesn't change the circumstances that we're in. And with the financial implications of his diagnosis, I've needed to work. I do choose to homeschool, so it's an interesting, I know there's a lot of people that look at my life and think, well, that's the obvious thing you could take off your plate, but it is one of the most life-giving parts of my life. I realize I do still make a choice, but I feel that there are many things in my life where I can't change, and the Lord has put things on my plate, and He does strengthen me for it. In Psalm 18, verse 29, it says, "For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. And then later it says, for you equipped me with strength for the battle. And this is a passage the Lord put on my heart a couple years ago, to have faith in the strength that he's giving me and that he will continue to give me for what is important to him and for what he's put on my plate. And I'm so grateful for that. And I feel I have to have regular check-ins, like, is this sustainable, Lord? Is this going to be okay for me? Or when I hear about books like The Body Will Keep the Score, I'm like, no, Lord, like, please don't. Please stop. You're giving me a supernatural override on this one. And I just have to take it day by day. But I do find how the sweetness of the Lord and how he refreshes me and does sweet things for me, or he knows my love language is gifts. Maybe I'm very busy, but a friend will give me something that just makes me feel so seen. Turning to music. Maybe as I'm loading the dishwasher, I put on some really fun music because I know it's going to lighten my spirit, turn me to him, or just strengthen me to continue. I think there are these little things that we can do in life that make the burdens feel not as heavy. And honestly, just asking for prayer when the burdens are too heavy and we don't know how to lift them. One of my best friends just had her first baby, and this woman was made to be a mother. She is like Mother Teresa in the flesh. She has delivered babies in Africa. She's ministered in India. She's incredible. And stateside, she's been a NICU nurse. And this baby, he doesn't know how amazing his mother is yet. He just knows that maybe he does, because he wants her 24/7 and he's not giving her a break. As you were saying earlier, we do have those seasons. It's where it is too much. It's too much for our flesh, and we have to ask for prayer and have faith that we're going to come out of it. Mm-hmm. I would have despaired if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think that there are seasons where it is too much for us, and we're going to break unless we completely press into him.
Oh, that's so good stuff. I hear you speak about the seasons and the busyness and your friend so fondly. I think also as we're talking about these different seasons and busyness that they bring, that's why it's so important to surround ourselves with edifying relationships and that know us and see where our heart is and understand our struggle and that can come alongside us and pray and just be a sounding board for us. There's so much rest and renewal and just honestly feeling seen in the busyness of life. It's all the more reason to surround ourselves with people who are running the same race and seeking the same thing that we are so we can encourage each other.
Sure. So we need an honest assessment of where we are at to be able to ask for prayer. And if we're numbing ourselves, we can't possibly get to that point of recognizing our true need.
True. And we need to then be humble to ask for the help. That sometimes there's the gird up your loins verse in the scripture. And there's times where we just need to gird up our loins and we need to bear through it and get it done. But there's other times where we need to stop and say, I can't do this. It's too much and I need your help. And we were not meant to carry that load by ourselves. And so part of what the Lord may be teaching us through that, by putting all those things on our plates, is to humble ourselves and to share the burden with other fellow believers. And I don't know about you, but when I have gone through hard times, it can be hard to ask for help or to humble myself and say, can you pray for me? We're dealing with this or we're dealing with that, because everybody has issues and each horse think their own pack heaviest. So I sometimes feel they have their things. They don't need to be burdened with mine, but that's not what the Lord would have for us. That's not at all. He wants us to live life with other believers. And sometimes the act of humbling ourselves and asking for that prayer or that help, or even just being honest and saying, you know what, I'm sorry, it's too busy this week. I can't do that, but I would love to meet with you next week sometime. Doing that work is allowing us to be humble and to allow other people to help us. And that's part of sanctification as well.
Yes.
I have another dear friend who, she has 5 kids. Her oldest is in a wheelchair. She's 13 years old, and she has Rett syndrome, which means that she's completely mentally capable. She's very bright, but she does not have control over her body, and she's nonverbal. She communicates with an eye gaze machine, and my friend is the most incredible, faithful mother to her, and she stewards that gift of her mind so well. She makes the extra effort, and it amazes me. But she has become so wise in setting boundaries for herself. She knows that this is the job the Lord has given her. Mm-hmm. She embraces the sanctity of life more than anyone I know because she is there. She's loving her daughter for who the Lord made her to be and serving her every day. And there's not rest, right? It's day in, it's day out. But she knows, I'm not going to be volunteering at church. No, this is where I am at home. She just is wise about what she commits herself to and what she commits her family to. And I've watched her work all of that out. She's really a capable, amazing mom, but she just is so smart about saying, I'm not going to do those things because my place is here blessing my family and serving them. And she has such a peace in it. It's not something she's disappointed by or re-wrestling with all the time. She's embraced the boundaries that the Lord has given her. And I really respect that about her.
It reminds me of that verse in 1 Samuel, I think. It says, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. That she's offering that as a sacrifice up to the Lord. And it hasn't cost her nothing. That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But how beautiful that you said it. She's has peace about it. She has joy in that. That sacrifice isn't a burden to her. The Lord has filled her with his strength to be able to do that. That's a beautiful thing that only God can do.
And we're probably talking to a lot of moms who have children with special needs, right? All sorts of different consistent needs. And we don't have the vacation from those things. Mm-hmm. And that's why finding some way to seek the Lord, just to be honest before him. Jen, in our last episode, when you said asking the Lord to quicken your spirit to him, and I thought that was such a beautiful prayer of a mother. He knows how much time you have, and I think it's the perfect word in this situation as well. Lord, would you reveal to me why I'm struggling? Would you reveal to me what I really need right now? Would you fill me with your spirit? Would you give me your joy? Give me your peace? Give me your wisdom?
Yes, not what I think I need, but what you know I need. Just throwing it all at his feet.
And then I think embracing the fact that children are a gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not something that we need to escape from.
Yeah.
One of the key reasons that our culture is struggling with this, I believe, is because we're losing the value of a child. Yeah. And now we need to redeem our time. I just spent all this time pouring into them. Now I need something back from it. But if we really believe that they're such a gift, we can delight in the service.
Yes.
That's a good word.
Yes. And I would just love to just tag on to that and say, although we hear it so often, the time does move so quickly. I have one that's now a junior, and we're talking about future plans. And there are times that I think, hold on, are we telling him everything he needs to know?
Yeah.
What have we forgotten? Mm. But the truth is the Lord fills in the gaps. But my point is that our time goes so fast, and we can numb and blur and do all the things when we're feeling overwhelmed. But when we look back on the last 20 years with our children, we don't want to regret that we numbed or blurred or hurried our days along. There will be hard days and there will be heavy days. But as a whole, we don't want to look back and remember the time that we got away from them. We want to remember the time that we invested into them. So we don't want to hurry it all along too much, because the days will go so fast.
It's a good word.
And we want to redeem that time as best as we can to the glory of God and for Him.
We know you're busy, Mama, so we are truly grateful you joined us for this episode of Again. If you're looking for more information about building your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, head to www.entrustedministries.com to learn more about our study for moms, Entrusted with a Child's Heart. This scripture-saturated study has blessed families around the world, and we want it for you too. Before you go, I want to pray this benediction over you from 2 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12. We're rooting for you. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we meet again.